The source of the following reading is the John S. Randall Peace Page. This Peace Page story in the year 2020 commemorates 75 years since his birth on February 6, 1945. He was born, raised in one of Jamaica's poorest neighborhoods. He gave the people hope. He gave the people courage. He encouraged them to get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up.
Some sources say he was born as Nesta Robert Marley, but a Jamaican passport official reversed his first and middle names because Nesta sounded like a girl's name. The world knew him simply as Bob Marley. He and his mother made their home in a government tenant yard, a crowded area where poor people lived, virtually all of them black. The yard they settled in, Trench Town, was made up of row upon row of cheap corrugated metal and tar paper, one-room shacks, generally with no plumbing. It was a place where your dreams might raise you or might kill you, but you would have to live and act hard in either case, said Rolling Stone's Nicole Gilmore. His father was a white man, Captain Norval Marley, a superintendent of lands for the British government, which had colonized Jamaica in the 1660s. Marley's mother, Sidella, was a young black woman descended from the Cromanti tribe, who as slaves had staged the bloodiest uprisings in the island's plantation era. Captain Marley seduced Sidella at age 17, promising her marriage as he reenacted an old age scenario of white privilege over black service. When Sidella became pregnant, the captain kept his promise, but left her the next day rather than face disinheritance. He was like the ugly duckling, Bunny Whaler remembers. There were many nights of cold ground for his bed and rock stone for his pillow. He was also a social outcast, according to the New York Times. His color seemed to be an impediment wherever he turned, causing him to turn inward, a solitary soul relying on his own inner strengths, according to reggae scholar Roger Steffens. Struggling in poverty, he found inspiration in the music around him. It was the music that lifted Bob Marley, and it was the music that would carry him, making him one of the most beloved icons in Jamaica and eventually in the world.
So you better get up, stand up in the morning, give it up, stand up for your right, stand up right now, get up, stand up.
New York Times pop critic John Pareles once wrote, Bob Marley became the voice of third world pain and resistance, the sufferer in the concrete jungle who would not be denied forever. Outsiders everywhere heard Marley as their own champion. Marley is now embraced by whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, Americans, Africans, Jamaicans, and more. A man of many names and many fans, the general public's feelings towards Bob Marley are now best summarized by the title of what's among his most singular songs, One Love, according to Christopher John Farley of Time magazine. Rolling Stone's Nicole Gilmore said Marley wasn't singing about how peace could come easily to the world, but rather about how hell on earth comes too easily to too many. He knew the conditions he was singing about. His songs weren't about theory or conjuncture or an easy distant compassion. His songs were his memories. He had lived with the wretched. He had seen the downpressers and those whom they pressed down, and he had been shot at. It was his ability to describe all this in palpable and authentic ways that sustains his body of music, unlike any we have ever known. Marley sang about tyranny and anger, about brutality and apocalypse, Gilmore added. His message of resistance, of spirit as a means to defeat oppression and claim one's inherent rights, has clearly emerged as his most powerful and important legacy. As a New York Times article tells it, Marley also did what he could to help his people, to make sure that people would be fed. There were those who depended on hot meals from him. Some say Marley supported about 4,000 people. Marley would achieve enormous success. With his new wealth, Marley would buy homes for many of his friends. The royalties for No Woman, No Cry also funded a soup kitchen in Kingston, which he kept funded by giving songwriting credits to his friend, Vincent Ford. He sent concertgoers home with the sound of him urging them to stand up for your rights ringing in their ears. Marley was that rarity, a black revolutionary who didn't scare white people, according to the New York Times. His songs represented what he saw, what he believed, lifting his countrymen from the social injustice, poverty, and oppression that they lived with every day. He was so popular and he was so vocal that others began to fear his voice. In 1976, Marley decided to sing at a concert promoting peace between two parties in conflict, attempting to quell violence. 2 days before the concert, he was nearly assassinated. A group of gunmen attacked Marley, bullets striking him twice and also injuring his wife. His manager was shot 5 times and had to fight for his life. Despite the attack, Marley still played at the show after much deliberation. When asked why, Marley responded, "The people who are trying to make this world worse aren't taking a day off. How can I?" Because of the attack, however, Marley agreed to a self-imposed exile, leaving his beloved Jamaica. He, however, continued writing songs to empower not only the people back home, but people everywhere. In 1977, Marley discovered he had cancer, but instead of taking doctors' advice on treating it when he had the chance, he instead continued touring and writing his songs, continuing to preach one love. When he realized he wasn't getting better, he longed to return home to complete his journey where it all started in Jamaica. He knew he was dying from the spread of the melanoma. That's when he wrote Redemption Song, one of his finest songs. The song was inspired by quotes from Marcus Garvey, who worked his entire life to improve the lives of others. According to the Black History Month Project, Garvey's full quote was, "We are going to emancipate ourselves from mental slavery because whilst others might free the body, none but ourselves can free the mind. Mind is your only ruler, sovereign. The man who is not able to develop and use his mind is bound to be the slave of the other man who uses his mind." According to his wife, he was already secretly in a lot of pain, and this song dealt with his own mortality. The song urges listeners to emancipate yourself from mental slavery because none but ourselves can free our minds. He probably should have treated the cancer when he had the chance, but he had continued touring and writing his songs and continuing to preach one love. It was the very last song he performed in public as he perched on a stool on stage that night in Pittsburgh, September 22, 1980, accompanied by only his acoustic guitar, according to Rolling Stone, weary, knowing his death was inside him, the house lights bearing down on him, sweat pouring from his face, Marley sang a personal prayer that invited us all in.
Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs. Redemption songs, redemption songs.
After he passed away in Miami on May 11th, 1981, it was that same song that was heard, along with 10,000 voices, according to Rolling Stone. Darkness fell and a sound blared through a speaker, ringing off the surrounding hills to the valley below. Old pirates, yes, they rob I, sold I to merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pits. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Cause all I ever had, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free. He survived a shooting, but it was cancer that finally caused his death. It spread to his lungs and his brain, and he just wanted to go home, but he never made it when he left the earth. He did pass away in Miami rather than Jamaica. He only had one wish, one ambition. You know, I only have one thing I really like to see happen. I like to see mankind live together, black, white, Chinese, everyone. That's all. For his final funeral eulogy, the leader of his country said this: "His voice was an omnipresent cry in our electronic world. His sharp features, majestic looks, and prancing style, a vivid etching on the landscape of our minds. He was never really seen, he was an experience which left an indelible imprint with each encounter. Such a man cannot be erased from the mind. He is part of the collective consciousness of the nation." So respected and adored was Marley by the people of Jamaica. He was given a hero send-off, with more than 30,000 people paying their respects to him while his body was lying in state at the National Arena. One love. This reading was sourced from a collection of posts from the John S. Randall Peace page, produced at the KTWH Community Radio Studio in Two Harbors, Minnesota, with the permission of John S. Randall. You can find the John S. Randall Peace page on Facebook. Just look for John, J-O-N-S, Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L. I'm Kim Leon, your narrator, and I thank my co-producer, Jackson Leon. This was a collection from several different postings from the John S. Randall Peace page, most recently posted on February 6th, 2020. Thank you for listening.